Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Chris, out of curiosity, what's your policy on decaf coffee? You good with it?
I prefer not. My wife exclusively drinks decaf coffee.
Really?
She gave up caffeine just before we got pregnant with her, when we were like first trying to get pregnant with our firstborn. Mm-hmm. She gave up caffeine, and ever since then, man, she laid off it. She liked the way her body felt when she wasn't relying on caffeine to wake up and stuff like that. And so she's stuck with decaf ever since.
Huh. Interesting. Interesting. Yeah. I went downstairs in this hotel I'm in to get a cup. And you know how they have those like thermoses lined up in the lobby? Two thermoses, a regular, one thermos, a decaf, both regular thermoses, gone, out, dry. Like, I got air. I just pressed down with a little lever. It was like deflating a balloon. So now, I went to the old decaf just for the flave. Jim says, I've been off caffeine for 30 years now. Tell DK that. See what his reaction is. Hi, everybody. Good afternoon. Good Wednesday afternoon, March 20th, 2024. Of course. This is the Southside Beat. We're a football show, not a coffee show. But, hey, we mix in just about anything we can. We tend to, at least. He's Chris Halleck. I'm Corey Crisson. I am drinking coffee at this hour because I was at the basketball arena.
William's doing a good job here. William's doing a good job keeping us on task here.
We'll get there, William. Listen.
No, hey.
Banter,
hey,
banter. You got to have some banter.
He's right. He's right. Listen. I can talk coffee all I want, but listen, there's some juicy stuff going on right out there. Yeah. when it comes to the Steelers and the receiver position. Obviously, the Steelers need a second one. And some of the names that have been tied in rumors, and again, we talked about it yesterday. If there's a name out there tied to the Steelers in rumors, we can't really just discard it anymore. Because we didn't think Justin Fields was happening. We didn't think Russell Wilson was happening. We didn't think Patrick Queen was happening. I don't think Patrick Queen was even on our radar when it came to inside linebacker, just because of where he was in terms of the market. Yeah. I mean, at this point, it's like, okay, what are the Steelers willing to give up to upgrade that room? Because they could add anybody from a guy who can compliment George Pickens and you can anoint George Pickens as the number one guy, or you can go get a legitimate number one receiver and kind of have this two-headed monster on the outside.
Yep. Now, one thing we know for sure is that it won't be Mike Williams.
Yes.
Yesterday, there was a lot of talk about Mike Williams, the former Charger, mm-hmm. visiting the South Side. The schedule visit was going to be Thursday, as he was set to visit the Jets Tuesday, the Panthers today, and the Steelers tomorrow, but he never made it out of New York. He was apparently offered an offer he could not refuse, did not refuse, And he signed on the dotted line before he can even get to Charlotte. Forget about Pittsburgh.
Yeah, they didn't even let him leave the state.
So, with that being said, I believe someone brought him a pork roll, egg, and cheese from a specific – which, listen, that seals the deal for me, too. And by the way, pork roll, not Taylor ham. Pork roll, not Taylor ham. So, anyway, Mike Williams won't be a Steeler because he is a Jet officially, signing a contract to stay in New York. Didn't even make the visit to the South Side. And yeah, as Mark kind of says here, the Jets knew if they let him out of the building, yeah, he might not be coming back, given Omar Khan was essentially batting third in that lineup. So Jets got the first crack, and they put the name on the line. So the Steelers are back to the drawing board when it comes to that wide receiver too. And as we talked yesterday, Brandon Ayuk, when rumors come out, okay, like you said, with Omar Khan and the way he acts and the moves that he makes, when rumors come out, you can't automatically dispel them, because at this stage, realistically, anything could happen when it comes to the Steelers and how Omar Khan is rebuilding this team. And
especially if you get the player actually tweeting at the Steelers head coach.
Yes. And by the way, that was not deleted. I made a mistake. Yeah. I thought he deleted the tweet, but if you go,
it's under replies.
It's under replies. It's not under, just posts. So it's still there. And he adds Coach Tomlin and says, "Hey, man, let's go." And look, all right, with all of that being said, like, it doesn't sound like to me, you know, they pressed too hard on Mike Williams. Like, they kind of did the diligence on it. They let him make the visit. And obviously, Williams chose right away to sign with the Jets. And now the Steelers have to turn attention if it's going to be within an experienced guy. Look at Brandon Ayuk, maybe a Terry McLaurin. Maybe Justin Jefferson on a very, very high end if you want to commit a lot of money.
I'm still or it's very skeptical be early. That could happen, yeah.
Right, or it's got to be early in the draft. Now, I still am of the belief that they could potentially go and get a lower-end free agent, maybe not even – this isn't lower-end, but like a Tyler Boyd. Like, I still think there's some smoke around Tyler Boyd. And then go early-ish in the draft between rounds 1 and 3. Roman Wilson's a name that keeps getting steam, not just because Mike Tomlin loves him, but because – across the league, he's impressed. He had a great Senior Bowl. He had a good combine. And he's going to test out a pro day. So, like, it's intriguing. It's intriguing to note some of those early round prospects in the draft. But that has to come after the Steelers make at least one more move, you would think, when it comes to picking up a wide receiver, whether that's a trade or free agent.
Yeah, a couple of things here. Tench fan. Sorry if I'm saying that wrong. Can we trade next year's first round pick for Ayuk? We need a center and offensive tackle this year. I mean, yeah, in a perfect world, yeah, you can trade next year's first round pick and then keep all of your draft picks for this year. And especially because if everything goes according to plan, that first round pick would be pretty late, right? Or it'd be later than 20, if the Steelers had their way, obviously. And if with them making the moves that they're making, the expectation should be that they would be picking later next year. But that just depends on what the 49ers would be asking. If the 49ers are willing to part with Ayuk, going into, a final year. Now, granted, 1 year of control, that helps any team that's trading for the guy. But it's we're talking about a very, very we're talking about a high impact player in Brandon Ayuk for sure. Like it's not even a question. It's going to take a lot. And somebody here says, John says, first is too much. Conventionally, yes, I would say yes. But looking back through the Steelers' first round picks over the past several years, not many of them have panned out. And if you can use one of those first round picks to get a guy who you know is going to produce, now granted, it's probably going to cost you. Let's just say hypothetically, it's Brandon Ayuk. You're probably only giving up a first round pick if you're confident that you can re-sign him. And if you're going to re-sign him, it's going to take a hefty investment. So that's one thing to consider. But shoot, man, outside of, I mean, Broderick Jones, the jury's still out, but it's looking very promising. But since T.J. Watt, the best use of a first-round pick has been Minkah Fitzpatrick when they traded that first-round pick to get Minkah. Yeah. That's really been the best use of a first-round pick. Terrell Edmonds isn't on the team anymore. Devin Bush, probably one of the biggest busts of the 21st century for the Steelers. Najee Harris, like, fine draft pick, and should get his fifth-year option picked up. Should. I'm not saying the Steelers are. I'm just saying they should. Been productive, yeah, for sure. But there's always going to be arguments to get first-round running backs. But, you know, the best use has been Minka. So if you can use a first-round pick to get a guy who you know is going to produce and who can also help block in the running game. Everybody remember week one when, who was it, Cole Holcomb or Demonte Casey? I don't remember who it was. Brandon Ayuk absolutely truck-sticked him. Dude can block too. So you're talking about a guy who can have a multi, like a huge impact in a variety of ways on this offense. To me, that's what
I want to go back to 2022 when the Titans traded away A.J. Brown to get the number 18 pick and a third round pick back from Philadelphia. That 18th overall pick turned into Treylon Burks, who is what is Treylon Burks right now?
Yeah.
With that being said, okay, I think the receiver position merits a little bit differently in this discussion. Because when you have a wide receiver who is established already and is on the market, you know what you're getting with that wide receiver by now. I think wide receiver tape in college and wide receiver tape in the NFL are two completely different things. Completely different things. The way that offenses are spread out in college football, the way that a lot of offenses run shorter in college football, there's not as much deep ball, not as much deep throwing as there is in the NFL, not as many deep shots. A lot of wide receivers in college football work more underneath. And a lot of these offenses now are running with versatile quarterbacks, with athletic versatile quarterbacks. And oftentimes, these short routes really don't get thrown to wide receivers. Quarterbacks will run for them or they're dumped to running backs. So it's not even the concept of if the Steelers are going to draft, let's say it's Thomas from LSU or Adonai Mitchell or whoever it might be. If they're looking at any of these receivers at 20, they have to look at this information to say, is drafting Brian Thomas better for our football team than trading that pick? And if we're going just based on the A.J. Brown deal from 2 years ago, if the Steelers traded pick 20 and the third rounder they just got from Philadelphia for Kenny Pickett, would anybody bat an eye? And yeah, as it's mentioned here, I think in multiple circles, but 412 brings it up here. It's not the price for the picks. It's the price of the contract. Yeah. Now, the Steelers would have to find a way to either A, extend him, or B, parse that money out and restructure that contract. Mm-hmm. One of two things would have to happen, and I don't think Brandon Ayuk, or for that fact of that matter, Justin Jefferson, would agree to any kind of restructure. They would want an extension, and they would want to get paid.
Oh, no.
Like top-of-the-line wide receivers.
Yeah, it would definitely be an extension. And now, Brandon, now listen, there's enough cap space. Now, you can go to overthecap.com or SpotTrack right now and be like, well, the Steelers don't have enough cap space. They have enough cap space. Trust me. Omar Khan is a master when it comes to restructuring contracts, understanding, you know, and again, a lot of the times when these guys sign long-term deals, they sign them with the initial intention. It's initially structured so that it can be restructured later. They know that they're going to restructure it down the line. This is not kicking the can down the road. It's part of the multi-year plan when it comes to, okay, we're going to structure it this way now, and then if we need to restructure it next year, great, we can do that. Great if we can, you know, put that off for another 2 years, we can restructure it then whenever. But that's how these contracts are structured so that they can do this kind of stuff and continue to create cap space. Rico here comes in with a $10 contribution. And says, you know, wouldn't Boyd and a good wide receiver work? I love playing GM.
Rico does,
you know, come in with another $2 and say a good wide receiver in the draft. The typical Steeler, like conventional way of thinking when it comes to the Steelers would tell me that would be the plan. You sign Tyler Boyd in free agency to eventually be your number three. And you take a guy in the draft who can elevate, you know, kind of maybe like early day two, like second round, maybe that can be eventually become your number two, especially in a draft class this deep that can become a number two guy. George Pickens was a second round pick. I mean, like, it can absolutely happen. And yes, that could absolutely be a way to do it. You don't have to give up any draft capital to do so. Tyler Boyd would be very affordable. He could help out in the running game. I think what the Steelers would ideally love to have is to have a guy who can be both productive as a pass catcher and be able to help block in the running game. It would really help in Arthur Smith's offense. And that's why I think you're not just trading, like specifically with Brandon Ayuk, you're not just trading to get a guy just to make a splash. No, this guy will actually, like, he can play a gigantic role in this offense and literally do it on every single down, because he can create space for himself on all three levels as a receiver. And then, oh yeah, he can also help block in the running game. Like, yeah, that is rare in today's game. And mm-hmm. That's why I think he would be so valuable and such a great, to me, like I called Patrick Queen a game changer on defense. To me, Brandon Ayuk would be a game changer on offense. And it's not, again, it's not just because, oh, well, now George Pickens has a running mate. It's because, like, holy crap, like, this dude can do literally everything on this offense, in an offense that still is going to look to run the ball first. I think that's one thing that continues to get overlooked here, is that, yes, they need to get another receiver. They need to deepen that receiver room. But this is still going to be a run-first team.
Oh, Joshua says, would you trade George in a fifth for Ayuk? Absolutely
not. No way.
No, they can't trade George Pickens. Shadow says, does Tyler Boyd want to be wide receiver three, though? I don't think he would be a wide receiver three in Pittsburgh. I think he'd be a two. Put it this way.
Currently, yes.
Put it this way. What if, theoretically, the core wide receivers for the Steelers next season were George Pickens, Tyler Boyd, Roman Wilson, and Van Jefferson? Would you feel good about that? Because I would. I'd feel pretty good about it.
I feel okay about it. I'd rather have Deontay Johnson over Tyler Boyd.
I would too, but this is where we're at. So what? Okay. So on the other side. Okay. So what if it's George Pickens, Brian Thomas, Tyler Boyd, Van Jefferson?
That's different.
Can I interest you in that?
That's different. But you're spending an early first round pick to get Brian Thomas.
I understand that, but that's on the table. That has to be on the table at this stage.
And there's one thing that we have to consider, and James brings it up here, and multiple people have brought it up. We need to shore up the O-line. And that is one thing where I am beginning to think, like, okay, listen, I'm not saying that the Steelers are okay to go into the season with Dan Moore and Broderick Jones. I do think they need to upgrade at tackle. And the good thing is this is a good draft class to take another tackle. Mm-hmm. But if you can use a first round pick to get an elite, but a very, very, very good receiver, a Brandon Ayuk, Justin Jefferson. But again, I continue to kind of scoff at that one. Even with everything the Steelers are doing, it just seems very unrealistic. But I'm just saying, like to me, like if you can use that first round pick to get a guy like that, you're going to have to use that second round pick to meet on a center, or you're going to have to somehow trade up to make sure you get like a Zach Frazier or something like that, because the Steelers cannot now go into this draft and not get a center. Because they didn't get one in free agency. They at least have two starting tackles. They could sure upgrade there. They need to upgrade there. But they really, really need a center. Like, more so than a tackle.
Right. I don't remember who brought this up. Here it is. Jeff says, we're also talking about missing badly under Colbert. Omar is so far so good. I want to note, Omar Khan has not drafted a wide receiver yet. No. He's not drafted a wide receiver yet with any pick. So let's see. Let's see if Omar Khan, has that way of scouting wide receivers. Brian says, aren't rookie wide receivers excelling more now than any point in NFL history? If so, better draft one and fill other high price areas, fill free agency. I believe, and I don't have numbers in front of me or anything like that, but I believe that there is a like elite group of rookie and second year wide receivers. And then it's a steep drop off. If I like my memory serves correctly, like there is a group of select rookie wide receivers that are like cementing themselves as Pro Bowlers, all pro caliber players, and then the drop off becomes significant. So like, I can't say that rookie wide receivers as a whole are excelling, but I think that there are more, I guess, Pro Bowl, All-Pro caliber players at the top, at the very top. Now, is Brian Thomas at the very top when it comes to this class? It's arguable that it's, you know, Marvin Harrison, Roma Dunsey, Malik Nabers, and then fill out the rest of the list from there. So it just kind of depends on how they view that position. Malvo, thank you for becoming a new member. We appreciate that. And Levi comes in with $5 and says, Ramon suggested trading Dan Moore in a third or fourth rounder for San Fran for Ayuk.
Would you
be good with that trade?
I would, if the 49ers called me, and I'm
with
Omar
all due respect
Khan,
to Dan Moore, I would drive him to the airport personally.
And they offered me Dan Moore and a third-round pick for Brandon Ayuk. I would not let him off the phone until that trade it becomes official with the NFL. Yeah. Like, that would be the I would be all over that. You can – I mean, you can talk about getting Brandon Ayuk without having to give up a first or second-round pick. 100% I would do that. That's not even a question.
With all due respect to Dan Moore, I like the guy. He's a nice guy. I would drive him to the airport personally.
Oh, my. It's not even a question. You can move Broderick Jones over to left tackle, and then you can find a right tackle in a second round. That's not even a question. I personally think that Brandon Ayuk, it would take more than Brandon Ayuk to get a guy like him. Right. But if you could get away with that, oh, my gosh, yes. That's not even a question. Not even a question. 100% I would do that.
I think some people might be wishing that Ramon was the GM of the 49ers right now.
Listen, Ramon knows more about the game than I do. I'm not going to pretend.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
No, heck no. No, Ramon knows more about this game than I do. I'm just saying, like from my perspective, like that to me makes 100% sense because, again, you can get a tackle in the draft. That still allows you to go center tackle or tackle center in the first two rounds of the draft this year. Now, I prefer to not have to go into the draft having the draft for position. I just – that's usually not the way to go. But Stephen A. says I would drive Dan Moore all the way to San Fran for that deal. That's a road trip right there. That's even a road trip from here in Dallas. But yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, yeah.
I think the trenches are incredibly interesting when you combine offensive defensive line.
Yeah.
I think it's very obvious that, as we talked about for weeks, that offensive line is going to be a position in the draft.
Yeah.
But 100%. So is defensive line. The defensive tackle market exploded when free agency started. And since it's quelled down just a little bit. Now, I don't think the Steelers will be looking in the free agent pool for defensive linemen because they already have Cam Hayward, Larry Ogunjobi, a couple of veteran
brought back
aging,
Montrevious Adams.
Yeah. And Montrevious Adams aging.
Hey, let's not forget about tackles. Keanu Benton here. Well, I mean,
but you're getting ahead of me.
Sorry.
And then, of course, you have Keanu Benton with a little bit of youth. I think they need a piece of youth to go alongside Benton to help give them some depth, number one. And number two, give them a little insurance policy for the future. Lamb says Stackhouse from Georgia, an option. I'm a big fan of Dwayne Carter out of Duke. I like him a lot. I think he's a Keanu Benton light, L-I-T-E, when it comes to his skill set. I think there's another guy there. And yeah, Sebastian says a lot of old guys in there. That's what I mean. The Steelers, I think, need to get younger on the defensive front. I think they need to get younger there. That's why, like, When you think of Patrick Queen, right, and this is an example, and this was part of the rationale I would have before they signed Patrick Queen of drafting a linebacker relatively early. It's not just about building the room from the standpoint of getting another talented piece in there and upgrading the position, but it's also about getting younger overall. It's about finding youth. Patrick Queen's 24. He's got so much ball ahead of him. He has more ball ahead of him than he has behind him. Yeah. So – When you have guys like Cole Holcomb and Atlanta Roberts, pardon me, in that room, yeah, you have to get younger there. When you have Larry Ogunjobi, Cam Hayward in that defensive line room, they have to get a little bit younger, even though they just added Keanu Benton in last year's draft. If they can find a mid-range like a Gabe Hall or Dwayne Carter, another defensive lineman to put alongside Benton to help build for that future, it's a good place to be. And especially because guys like Loudermilk, they missed on guys like Loudermilk and they missed on Leal. Like if those two guys developed the way that maybe they wanted them to, and especially with Leal, being what, third round pick? Mm-hmm. Like, okay, we wouldn't have this conversation, but let's not forget that Leal's fading away. He's made it active several times last year.
Yeah, I definitely think they need to upgrade on defensive line. To me, the draft, I'm not very high on the defensive tackles in this draft. Like, yeah, yes, there's some good ones in there, of course. But I'm talking about overall depth, and especially when you look at the strengths of tackle and cornerback and center, receiver. There are so many other positions that are better in this year's draft than defensive tackle, and I'm not, again, not saying defensive tackle is not a need. I'm really curious to see how Keanu Benton takes off in year two, and the Steelers need to give him more of a starring role in year two. And I would kind of expect him to have a higher volume of snaps. They are really, really high on this dude. And there's a good reason why he looked like the real deal in his rookie year. But I would still say that center and tackle on the offensive line are much, much bigger needs than defensive tackle. And the big reason why is, well, number one, you're going to be a run first team on offense. You got to have a good offensive line if you're going to be running the football, especially at center in Arthur Smith's wide zone system. You got to have an athletic center that can be able to move laterally with some speed and strength and be able to get to those blocks while running those wide zone schemes. You're going to have to do that, and the Steelers don't have that right now. Then with tackle, you're talking about your quarterback is either Russell Wilson or Justin Fields, two guys who hold onto the ball for a long time. You got to be able to give them time, you know, and if you can't do that, this offense is not going to work when it comes to the passing game. That's just the bed that Steelers have made for themselves when it comes to the quarterback position. Yes, there could be some upside when it comes to the big plays down the field because both Wilson and Fields can throw the deep ball very, very well. But overall, I mean, they both hold on to the ball for a long time. You got to be able to give them time to throw, and that means you're going to have to – you should be upgrading at tackle. And so I still think center and tackle are bigger needs than defensive tackle just because of the urgency that's there on offense to get better on offense. And if you need any proof of it, they completely overhauled the quarterback room to do it. So, yes, yeah. I still think those are bigger needs for this team right now.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. But, like, I think it would benefit them to look at some early options. Like, Tavondre Sweat at 51 is, like, a popular one people are talking about because he's your typical nose and kind of would fit right there. Like, Ruke Orihoro. Is okay. Another one.
So let me throw something at you. Let's say Sweat's available at 51. Please. Let's say they took Mims in the first round. Okay, they got Mims in the first round. So tackle upgraded. Great.
Yeah.
Tavondre Sweat and Zach Frazier are both available at 51.
Ooh. You got to take Frazier at that stage, I think.
That's what I'm saying. Like.
But I get it. I get that. Yeah. And yeah. I think, but I also think that the centers. When it comes to Powers Johnson and Frazier,
I don't think Frazier's there at 51. Just, I'm just saying, like, for whatever reason, if that happened.
Right. But as Cody says here, too, D-line can wait one more year. I think it certainly can. Now, mm-hmm. That's looking early for defensive linemen. That's looking first round for defensive linemen. I think if you look at the D-linemen, you look in the fourth, you know, day three, look at fourth and fifth rounds, and I have to go back and double-check.
You're taking a flyer on a guy at that point.
You are, but there's still some quality there.
Well, there's always gems to find in the draft for sure. That's why the really, really good drafts, that's why you have a really good scouting department. That's why you try to have a really good scouting department because mm-hmm. you tend to hit more on those day two or early day three guys. For sure. If they could find a gem, you know, fourth or fifth round, that's ideal. I'm just saying, like, especially with this class, this is just not a great class of defensive tackles in terms of depth, you know, and that's why I'm thinking like you need to take advantage of the strengths of this class and this, specifically the ones that align with what the Steelers need. They need a center. They need to upgrade at tackle. I would even say like if you have the opportunity to get a bona fide, like, holy crap, that's the best player available far and away, and it's a cornerback, shoot, man, like again, that's what the draft is for. Draft is for getting the best player every single time you get onto the clock. It's not just we have this need to check. That cannot be how you go into a draft. That's how you have bad draft classes.
If they drafted a wide receiver at 20, knowing there are glaring holes at center and tackle. How would you feel about it?
Depends on who the receiver is.
Okay.
I mean, like, I'm just saying, look, so if it's Brian Thomas, like, I prefer center at that point. But if you use that first round pick to get Brandon Ayuk, I feel a lot better about it. Now, yeah, then you're going to have to pay for it in terms of the cap, in terms of cap space. But, it's how that first round pick is used to acquire a receiver, whether you use that first round pick to draft one or if you use that first round pick to get an established, you know what you're getting. Like there's little question or concern that this could possibly, because remember, every single draft pick could possibly be a bust. Just like every single draft pick could possibly be a home run. It's a crapshoot at the end of the day. So to me, like, yeah, you have to pay for it in the cap, but if you can use a first round pick to get Brandon Ayuk, I feel a lot better about that. I'd still like to see the Steelers get a center because I need to know what the plan there is, because I don't think that Nate Herbig is the plan in a wide zone scheme. And that's nothing against Nate Herbig. I think he's a good player, and I think the Steelers are really a better offensive line with him as one of the first guys that can come off, like pretty much as that first guy on the interior that can come onto the field. But they've got to have something a little bit better there.
As Jeff says, Mims, Frazier, Roman Wilson, if those are the Steelers' first three picks, I'm happy.
That's a home run.
I'm happy. If those are the Steelers' first three picks, I'm happy. Now, if they have to trade up for Frazier or if Mims falls to them, or if it's Fulaga or Fautnell or whoever it is.
Remember, they got two third-round picks now. So
yes, they do, and they can definitely move up.
Yep, they got two third-round picks thanks to that Kenny Pickett trade. So,
final thought?
I'll kind of just reiterate, man, like, you know, yes, the Steelers need to upgrade at receiver. Like they do, like they did the right thing. I think if really it was just time to move on from Deontay Johnson, I think they went about it in a decent way. They upgraded at cornerback. No, it's not a great player. But it's a guy who definitely is better than what they've had the past couple of years, especially when it comes to a guy who can play opposite Joey Porter Jr. And they ended up getting him to take a pay cut, so they're saving money. So good on the Steelers for figuring that out. But when you send Deontay Johnson away, that leaves a gaping hole at receiver, regardless of how you felt about him. Because right now the drop-off from George Pickens to wide receiver two is massive, and the drop off from wide receiver two to wide receiver three is even larger. They really need to get somebody. I don't think that I understand the fear of trading a first round pick, but again, look at the first round picks and what the Steelers have done. TJ Watt in 2017 was obviously fantastic, but a lot of picks since then have just not panned out. If you can guarantee yourself a bona fide player to play at receiver and it takes a first round pick to get that guy, I'm okay with that. I remember the initial reaction when the Steelers traded the first round pick to get Minkah Fitzpatrick. There was excitement about getting Minkah, but there was also a lot of trepidation because holy crap, they gave him a first round pick and look how it's played out for them. It's played out really well. So I would just say if that ends up happening, if it's just a straight up first round pick for Brandon Ayuk and maybe like a couple of like late round pick swaps or something like that to go along with it. But if it's pretty much first round pick for Brandon Ayuk, I don't think it's enough reason to freak out. I think that's a good trade for the Steelers.
Jeff says, are the Steelers regretting trading Johnson, or are we as the fans regretting trading Johnson? I don't know how you guys feel.
I don't think the Steelers
Jeff
are.
Says, did it. Yeah, but Jeff says he has mixed feelings. Look, yeah, you're allowed to.
I understand that. Listen, Deontay was a I thought very highly of Deontay Johnson. Was he a perfect receiver? No. No, he was not. He had holes in his game. He had some holes in his game. Just more and more consistency than anything. But he did a lot of things really well, and he suffered from really, really shoddy quarterback play for the past two seasons. Look what he did when he had Ben Roethlisberger in his final year. He's like one of five receivers in Steelers history to have 100 catches and 1,000 yards in the season. That's not an accident. The dude can play. He just didn't have good quarterback play the past couple seasons. But they can't. The Steelers, if you get Brandon Ayuk, that's an upgrade, in my opinion.
My final thought's more of a plug. For those that don't know, I am in Omaha, Nebraska. covering Duquesne in the NCAA tournament. Tip-off is at 12:40 Eastern tomorrow against BYU, their first-round game here in Omaha. And I'll be here live coverage for the next few days. Got a couple stories coming up, DKPittsburghSports.com on the Dukes. And then the game tomorrow, live file, everything ready to go for it, full package deal on it. 12:40 Eastern. It's tip-off, and I'll have full coverage of that on DKPittsburghSports.com. And I'll be with them for as long as the Dukes are in the tournament. So we'll see what happens. 11 seed versus 6 seed. March Madness is here, baby. Get the brackets in. Fill them out. Virginia. Ugh. Wow. Disgusting. Virginia. Disgusting. Can't stand it. All right. We're out of here. Chris will be with you tomorrow. I will not be here. I will be in a post-game frenzy after Duquesne wraps up. 11:40 local time here, tip off in Omaha, which is nice. I like morning basketball games.
I'm used to that. Though. I always remembered like whenever I, before I became a journalist, I would work in a certain, warehouses, or we would always have office pools with March Madnesses and stuff like that. And we'd be starting to track the games, like especially on the first weekend, morning time, like games were already starting and everything like that. It was of course, Texas is Central Time, so you're an hour behind. So, that's fun. Mm-hmm. Good stuff.
Reminder, you get one bracket only. You're not filling out 40 brackets and saying, look how smart I am. Don't do it. Hey, you get one bracket, one shot.
It's not for bragging rights. It's for adding a little green to the wallet.
Well, yeah. Milk Carton Corey, yeah, I'm going to be missing for the next, at least tomorrow. We'll see about Friday. Depends on.
See what Duquesne does. What? I didn't even get it. I haven't even looked at the bracket yet. What seed is Duquesne?
11. Nice. Duquesne's in the toughest region in the tournament, the East region, along with UConn and Illinois. And it's just a big, big, big kerfuffle. And then, of course, BYU is a 6. It's the toughest region in the tournament. And BYU is really good offensively. So,
all right, well, give us your Duquesne pick. Who's winning the game?
I think BYU wins it. I think it's about an 8 to 10 point game. BYU wins. I think, what am I going to predict score-wise? Like 75-65 BYU. That's what I have.
Well, we will be updating. I'll try to update tomorrow or at least Friday when it comes to the show next week, just because I'm going to be in Orlando, obviously covering the owners' meetings. I'll have to see what the plans are for like day layout and everything like that, and see, you know, when I'm available. I'll be back on Eastern time, so I'll be like, okay, 3 o'clock, you know, what's my day looking like? If I can get on, I'm getting on, you know, absolutely. And we'll obviously see if Duquesne, begins a Cinderella run, then there might not be any Southside beat, you know, Monday or Tuesday, just because, you know, I'll be covering stuff. Corey will be covering stuff. We'll see. We'll do everything we can to try to make sure we get some shows, especially if something ends up happening.
Yeah, it's that time of year. All right, we're out of here. I'm not sure about Duquesne remote today. I'm not sure either. Itinerary on that. So mystery at 4 o'clock Eastern today in about 20 minutes. He's Chris. I'm Corey. This has been the Southside Beat. Thank you for listening. Cheers, everybody. Have a good day.